Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the earnings conference call of Dalmia Bharat Limited for the quarter and half year ended September 30, 2022. Please note that this conference call will be for 60 minutes, and for the duration of this conference call, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. This conference call is being recorded, and the transcripts for the same may be put up on the website of the company. After the management discussion, there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode. Before I hand over the conference to the management, I would like to remind you that certain statements made during the course of this call may not be based on historical information or facts and may be forward-looking statements. The forward-looking statements are based on expectations and projections and may involve a number of risks and uncertainties and other factors that could cause actual results, opportunities, and growth potential to differ materially from those suggested by such statements. On the call, we have with us Mr. Puneet Dalmia, MD and CEO, Dalmia Bharat Limited; Mr. Mahendra Singhi, Managing Director and CEO, Dalmia Cement Bharat Limited; Mr. Dharmendra Tuteja, CFO, Dalmia Bharat Limited; Mr. Rajiv Bansal, President and Chief Transformation Officer, and the other management of the company. I would now like to hand the conference call over to Ms. Aditi Mittal, Head, Investor Relations. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Yashastri. Good morning, everybody. Wish you a very warm welcome on the Q2 FY23 and H1 FY23 earnings call of Dalmia Bharat Limited. Hope you all had a chance to go through the transcript and the results, which we've been uploaded on our website, and which they can be downloaded from the investor section on the website. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Dalmia for his opening remarks. Thank you.
Thank you, Aditi. Good morning, everyone. I hope all of you had a fun and festive Diwali with your family and loved ones. It gives me great pleasure to welcome all of you for the Q2 Financial Year 23 earnings call of Dalmia Bharat Limited. Globally, we are in the midst of some very uncertain times with a mixed bag of news flowing in from across the globe. But even in this little bit of unrest, my personal faith and optimism on the economic prospects of the Indian economy is very strong. While all the major economies in the world are currently facing a serious threat of recession, India's sound macro fundamentals, along with our government's prudent economic policies, have thus far led us to be more resilient than the rest of the world. I personally believe that the long-term story of India is intact, and the next 2 to 3 decades really belong to our country. Given a combination of factors such as our demographic construct, a very large consumer base, the state of urbanization in the country, and the China plus one policy, I strongly believe that for India to take advantage of this opportunity that lies ahead of it, and for the government to generate employment opportunities for millions of people who are getting added to the workforce every year, the thrust on infrastructure development, increased public spending by the government, and augmentation of private capex is inevitable. And rightly so, the government has recognized this. And over the years, it has increased its allocation towards infrastructure and also created an enabling environment for private investment. All of this makes me believe that the crucial role that the cement sector is going to play in India's growth story is going to be very important. Despite the lows of last 2 years, whether it was COVID or whether it was China-led supply disruptions or the Russia-Ukraine war, we have bounced back very strongly as a sector. Hence, I am personally very bullish on the long-term prospect of the sector, and we remain committed to our long-term goal of 110 to 130 million tons by 2031. We had also committed to an interim milestone of 49 million tons by March 24, and I'm happy to say that we are absolutely on track to deliver that on time. This has given us confidence of setting another interim milestone of 70 to 75 million tons by financial year 27. A lot of work has already started on this, but details regarding the same will be shared in the next couple of quarters. Over the last 10 years, we have grown at a CAGR of 15%, and that too without leverage on the balance sheet and having a net debt-free company. At the same time, we have also grown our sales volumes at a similar rate, which has also led to an improvement in utilization. And even when our company has grown at such a fast pace, we have never taken our focus off from building long-term cost efficiencies, which has consistently led us to be one of the lowest cost producers in the country. Optimizing cost of production and creating a low carbon footprint is a part of our DNA and is deeply embedded in our operating culture. Considering that the cement sector is likely to grow at 1.1 to 1.2 times GDP over the next 10 years, and given the likely consideration in the industry, we see the top four players increasing their market share substantially over the next 10 years. Now coming to the quarterly performance, we have again delivered industry-leading sales volume growth of almost 13% on a YOY basis. During the quarter, we have also seen significant margin compression due to steep energy inflation. And I hope that the worst is behind us. And with costs moderating, hopefully the margin recovery can be reasonably meaningful in the upcoming quarters. I also recognize the fact that for a company which is growing at a pace at which we are planning, we need to create a large pool of leaders who could help us navigate from where we are today to our vision. In every phase of growth, we have made significant investments in our people, and we will continue to do that. Hence, we are undertaking an HR transformation program, which I'm personally sponsoring. Under this, we are looking at our policies, succession planning, streamlining our organization structure, the diversity of our people, learning and development, and upskilling initiatives, including looking at incentive structures of people, etc. I'm personally very happy with the journey that we have achieved so far. And I think this is the time to have conviction in the future and increase our investments in India and our people. And we are going to do exactly that. I think we are the best for India and Dalmia is yet to come. And I'm very excited about the journey that we have set ourselves on.
Happy morning, friends. My apologies for a little delay. Hope all of you had great festive time and let me in advance wish you a very happy new year. Now let me start with the operating performance. Now you all have known now so far that it was a very tough quarter for the Indian cement industry. But at the same time, our company has been able to deliver a leading volume growth of 13% on YOY basis, and which has in turn made our revenues grow by 15%. While August was an extremely weak month, there had been recovery in September, both in volume and little bit in prices. Like what Puniji has shared, let me again reiterate that we have been able to make our total cost comparable or one of the best in the industry on account of various cost control measures, various innovative measures our team has taken, and on that account we are quite hopeful for better future also. Friends, we all have seen the impact of energy prices, both petroleum, coke and coal, on overall variable cost, but to us now it looks like that fuel prices further should not go up, and there may be opportunity of reduction in power and fuel costs if prices of petcoke or coal comes down and dollar price remains stable. Our logistic cost continues to remain one of the lowest in the industry on account of various innovations, various measures which our team has taken with the help of technology also, as well as with the better sales management also. Our EBITDA for the quarter stood at ₹379 crore, which translates to ₹656 per ton. For rest of the year, we expect profitability to rebound due to a combined favorable impact of sales volume, prices, and maybe cost. With a sharp management focus, we have remained one of the lowest total cost producers in the industry. Friends, we remain committed to continuously explore levers of long-term cost saving and are implementing suitable measures that will enable us to retain our cost leadership. During the quarter, we have commercialized 4 megawatt of waste heat recovery system power and 20 megawatt of solar power, which takes our total renewable energy capacity to 129 megawatt and which constitutes 24% of our power mix. Additionally, we have now taken the board approval to further add 155 megawatt to renewable power. This is beyond 173 megawatt renewable power, which are on track to implement by March 23. With this, our total renewable energy installation would be expected to reach 328 megawatt by FY24. Another level which adds to cost efficiency and sustainability is the enhancement of our blended cement. Our focus of last few years has bringing in better results, and now we may say that for us, for this quarter, the blended cement percentage has been 82%, and month by month, it should go up. What has been really encouraging is that in South India, which has traditionally been a ordinary Portland cement market, we have increased our blending to 63% as compared to 47% in Q2 last year. This is just amount to our efforts on the ground in regard to making blended cement acceptable, as well as just amount to our blended cement quality. With all these measures, we have been able to bring down our carbon footprint to 467 kg per ton of cement, which in our view should be one of the lowest in world cement sector. Friends, like what Puniji has said, we are on track to achieve our capacity expansion milestone of 49 million tons by March 24. Further, in line with our vision to reach 110 to 130 million tons by 2031, we have set another interim milestone of 75 million tons by FY27, and surely we will come out with the details in a few quarters. Over the last 2.5 years, our capacity has increased by 40% from 26.5 million tons to 37 million tons, and our teams remain firm and excited on delivering strong execution both on CapEx and operations. Before handing over the call to our CFO, Mr. Dharmendra Kuteja, I may like to share that we are working in a big way on creating fuel and raw material security. It has been shared last time also that we have now acquired one coal block, and in time to come, that coal block will be able to give us fuel security for our eastern operations. In addition to this, we have been also working in a big way on ensuring limestone security for a larger number of years, and we are happy to share that in each and every plant, we have big limestone security. Friends, we are expecting that cement industry should be able to perform better in quarters to come, and we are also expecting better demand in H2, which may also lead to better prices and better profitability. Thanks for joining, and now let me request our CFO, Dharmendra Kuteja, to share his thoughts. Thank you.
Thank you, Sanjay ji. Good morning, everyone. Hope you all had a great Diwali celebration. On the CAPEX front, we are on track for the 49 million tons CAPEX by March 24. Of the total CAPEX of 3,000 crores planned for FY23, we have so far spent about 1,200 crores in H1 and are on track to spend the planned CAPEX in H2 as well. With respect to incentives, we have accrued 61 crore in Q1 and 119 crore in H1. In terms of collections of incentives, we have collected 84 crore during the quarter and 128 crore in H1. For remaining 6 months of the year, we expect to accrue incentives at similar run rate. The incentives receivable as on 30 September stood at rupees 665 crores. On the debt side, our closing gross debt as on 30 September stands at 3,287 crores, which is an increase of rupees 147 crores during H1 this year. The net debt to EBITDA as of 30 September is 0.32 times. The board has declared an interim dividend of rupees 4 per share. We also continue to evaluate our investment in IEX and will take appropriate call on divestment at opportune times. In furtherance of our long-term governance journey to adopt world-class practices, we are benchmarking our accounting policies with the best in class. We'll keep you updated about any changes that get implemented. With this, I now open the floor for question and answers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Indrajit Agarwal from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. I have a few questions on the expansion pipeline that you have earmarked. So when we look at 70 to 75 million ton, how important would inorganic expansion be? And on that note, are there any particular geographies that we are more keen about or want to avoid? And what is the kind of ROCs or valuations for inorganic expansion that we could look for?
I would like to share with you that we always are having specific program and plans for organic growth. And at the same time, as and when there are opportunities of any inorganic growth, we do evaluate. And we are open for any region, but at the same time, let that any inorganic expansion meet certain criteria. Otherwise, we are now planning for 70, 75 million tons for next 3 years to come.
Sure. But would you think that in East we will be restricted by CCI and Competition Commission issues, or we still would have scope if you want to expand in East and South as well?
Let opportune time come and then we'll examine that.
All right. Sir, on Bihar grinding unit, the land acquisition continues to be delayed. So what exactly are the bottlenecks that we are facing now, and what kind of line of sight you have on that expansion right now?
We are hopeful that we'll be able to commission Bihar grinding unit by March 24.
Sure. And my last question is on the limestone mine acquired at a hefty premium at almost 190% odd. So what kind of, is it more banking on blending it with the existing limestone we have, or do you think standalone that mine we can be profitable by making cement or clinker and cement of that mine? So what is the thought process on that kind of premium that you or the industry is paying right now?
You know, you have rightly said that there may be a blend of limestone with which may be available, and at the same time, let new deposits come in, because we also are aware that now government is quite buoyant on exploring new limestone deposits and go for auction. So wherever we have acquired limestone blocks where there's a hefty premium, We are expecting a few more blocks to come, and that may help. But otherwise also, cement industry would be growing at good growth. So that may be helpful.
Sure. Thank you. I have more questions. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Rajesh Ravi from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Good morning. I have a few questions. First, the housekeeping. Can you share the incentives booked, received, and outstanding in current quarter?
Yeah, during the quarter, we have received 84 crores. And as of the quarter end, we are having 665 crores received.
84 crores received and 655 outstanding. And how much was accrued in this quarter?
61 crores.
61 crores. Second question pertains to what is the per kilocal fuel cost in Q2?
It's 2.52.
Okay. And Q1 it was?
Q1 2.47. So marginally increased because of the higher petcoke prices.
Okay. And do you see this meaningfully softening in Q3?
That's right.
Okay. So is it fair to assume below 2 rupees per kilocal?
No, not that much. But in line with the petcoke prices, the fall, maybe we can expect around 10% reduction at least.
Okay. Okay. And sir, any softening in the, will it also, this falling coal prices also reduce your electricity generation cost?
Yes, but we have already taken actions to reduce our generation cost by moving to the grid and other avenues.
Mm-hmm. So like how much was the average cost, sir, in Q2 and what are you looking in Q3 on the electricity cost?
Yeah, for the current quarter it was 6 rupees for the blended.
6 rupees blended, okay.
6.9.
Oh, 6.9, okay. Yes. And sir, this restatement of numbers, again we are seeing that FY22, March 22 numbers, balance sheet numbers have been restated. Why is this continuing, sir?
No, that was done in March. It was for the
post-March annual report event.
That was done in the last quarter when we merged Murli and VDSPL, because that is retrospectively implemented from 31st March 20.
Okay. Okay. But because the date came in after the 31st March, that is why the numbers are appearing now.
And appointed date was, as per the NCLT approved order, appointed date was 31st March 20. So we had to restate the previous year number also, and that was done in the last quarter itself.
Okay, in Q1 end only it has been affected. Okay. So we don't expect any further restatement of prior numbers here on.
I don't think so.
Okay. And lastly, on this 26 million ton that we're looking to add over next 3 years, beyond FY25 to 27, could you give some sense of how much of this is organic, organically you have planned for?
You know, 49 million ton, it is all total organic.
Right. This is done, right?
Yes. For balance, like we said, that we'll be sharing details in few quarters to come. But at the same time, it's difficult to identify any inorganic number. And that's why all these numbers are organic.
Yeah, yeah, that is one thing. These are all organic, which is on the pipeline, this 26 million ton.
Rajesh, Rajiv Bansal here. See, yeah. Our vision remains the same. We want to be a pan-India player. We continue to keep looking at organic and inorganic opportunities. Right? Mm-hmm. As Singhiji and Sunit have said in the opening remark, you know, we have taken intermediate milestone of 75 million tons of 27. Details are being worked out. If we see a good inorganic opportunity which meets our vision and our strategy, of course, we'll look at it because it meets a certain criteria, Singhiji was saying, in terms of price and our position. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But, you know, at this point of time, to say how much would be organic and inorganic is not going to be possible. I think as a prudent management, we'll continue to look at all opportunities, organic and inorganic, but we are committed to deliver 75 million tons by 2024.
Okay. Great. So I was just wondering that this the current plan is mostly all based on organic, right? Inorganic is opportunistic.
No, actually, when you look at the when you do a strategy planning, you factor in saying that this could be potential inorganic opportunity, but if they don't come up, what are the backup plans, right? So you cannot really guarantee something like that happening. But you cannot say that, you know, because inorganic didn't happen, we couldn't deliver the number. So there is always a plan A and a plan B.
Okay. Okay. Great, sir. Thank you. I'll come back in queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Amit Murarka from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thanks for the opportunity. I wanted to understand on the balance sheet side, the debt has gone up quite substantially in the first half. In fact, it has gone up by almost 2,000 crores. And I see that most of this is actually a reduction in cash and cash equivalent. Gross debt is almost stable. So while of the 2,000 crore, I understand is reduction in value of IEX, but then there's another 1,000 crore reduction in cash and cash equivalent. So could you help understand, like, why is it so? And it doesn't tally up with the cash flow statement. The cash flow statement shows only kind of a 150, 200 crores reduction in cash balances.
Amit, out of the total reduction, about 1190 crore is because of the reduction in the value of the IEX share, and balance reduction is deliberately planned because when the interest rates are rising, firstly your cost of borrowings goes up and the yield on the treasury also drops in a rising yield curve. So we kept the treasury at a moderate level, commensurate to our requirements and servicing obligations. So this was the planned strategy.
Okay. But in the cash flow statement, at least I can't see a 1,000 crore increase in net debt.
There comes at two, three places, cash and cash equivalents as well as financial assets. I'll just clarify in the call. In the meanwhile, we can go to the next question.
Yeah, sure. That's all from my side for the time being.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Harsh Mittal from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Just wanted to know what is the price movement from September exit in your core market?
I would say to some extent prices have gone up by 20-25 rupees in Kerala, maybe 10 to 50 rupees in Tamil Nadu, and not much in Karnataka and Maharashtra. In East market, maybe 5 rupees here and there, not much.
Okay. And sir, how has been the movement in the premium segment share sequentially?
It's 20% of trade.
20% for this quarter and for the past quarter?
Plus 19%.
Okay, thank you. That is on my side.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Vivek Ramakrishnan from DSP Mutual Fund. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, since in the middle of a CapEx plan, I wanted to know what would be your peak debt levels that you're looking at over the next 2 years, looking at 23 and 24. And is there any target metrics in terms of debt EBITDA or something that you'll keep for your CapEx plan? That's my only question. Thank you.
Yeah, we had already announced in our capital allocation policy that our net debt to EBITDA will not cross 2:1 unless there is a strategic acquisition for which there could be a temporary blip beyond 2:1.
So if I can just add to what Dhananjay was saying, see, if it is a secular growth till FY27, we expect our net debt to EBITDA to be below 2. But, you know, as you know, inorganic opportunities don't come in a secular way. So if you get a good inorganic opportunity, for interim period, you may have a net debt to EBITDA go up depending on the opportunity, the size, and the valuation. But we are committed to ensure that on an ongoing basis, net debt to EBITDA always falls below 2.
Thank you very much, sir, and good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Shravan Shah from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Sir, couple of data points. First is trade share and lead distance for Q2 FY23.
The lead distance is 308 kilometers.
And trade share?
Yeah, trade share is 64%. 64.
Okay. Okay. And the fuel mix?
Fuel mix, petcoke is 59%. And rest is all other.
Sorry, petcoke 59. Domestic coal is how much? Because last time it was, I think, 16-17%.
So it's about 14% this year. This quarter.
14%. Okay. The third question is, in terms of though you mentioned that mostly even if the inorganic opportunity we will not be able to crack, then also organically as we have a plan A and B in terms of to reach the 70-75 million ton by FY27, but in terms of the broadly in terms of the capex for the incremental from 49 to 75, will it be fair to assume that close to $100 per ton, that's the fair way to look at in terms of the capex for the incremental capacity?
Hello?
Yeah.
Can you repeat the question, please?
Sir, I am asking that for incremental capacity addition from 49 to 75 million ton, in terms of the, let's assume if we go through the organic way, then the capex per ton, is it fair to assume that $100 per ton, that's the fair way to assume?
Difficult to say at the moment. Once we come out with our plan, then definitely we'll be able to share these numbers.
Okay. Okay. And in terms of the FY24 and 25, FY24, the capex will still remain that 3,500 crore?
Yeah, it should be about 3,500 to 4,000 crores.
Okay. And even if we assume the nothing comes in terms of the inorganic, and though we have a target to reach that, and we will be announcing the detailed plan in next couple of quarters, but can we see at least 5 to 10 million ton, 5 to 8 million ton will be added by FY25?
Yes, yes.
See, you know, I just want to add, see, when we announced the plan for 49 million tons about 2 years back, I think a lot of people told us that, you know, it's too aggressive, it may not be possible, and we have clearly demonstrated that, you know, our execution capabilities are the best. And to a large extent, whatever we commit, we deliver. Now, when we have committed to a 75 million tons by FY27, there's a lot of thought gone behind it, a lot of saving on it. But it's not the right time to drill out the plan at this stage. But, you know, of course, the growth will come every year. It's very difficult to put a number of how much will be FY25, how much will be FY26, because, you know, we still have to tie up the loose ends for every single plan that we have. But yes, as you rightly said, we'll announce this in the coming quarters. On a piecemeal basis. So, but, you know, given our track record of having delivered good capex growth and good capacity growth over the last many years, I think we feel very, very confident and absolutely sure of delivering for 10 minutes and that's what we see.
Okay. And lastly, sir, in terms of the Murli now, how would be the utilization for this quarter? And we were looking at 60-65% for FY23. So, is that remains intact?
I would say yes, it would be around 55-60% for the whole year.
Okay, okay, okay. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to participants to press star and 1 to ask a question. We have our next question from the line of Ritesh Shah from Investec. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, my first question was on LC3. Given we have been quite proactive on the ESG side, how do we see calcined clay actually play out over the next few years? Where is it in the process specific to BIA approvals? That's the first question, sir.
Yes. You know, this LC3 is still it has to catch up, and at the same time, the deposits or the mines of clay are at few places. So definitely we have been able to identify at two places. At the same time, looking to the energy prices, because gasoline clay also needs a lot of energy, a lot of coal. So at this moment, it may not be viable, but for long run, it may be one of the quality of cement which would be used. So still, I would say to make LC3 popular, it will take 4 to 5 years.
Sure, sir. That's helpful. Sir, my second question is specifically on the marketplace. We do hear price increases, but we are also hearing about tweaking of discount structure. So can you provide some thoughts behind why is it happening right now, and how is the company tackling this particular variable in the marketplace? Thank you.
Yes, price and discount, they all play a very important role. So as and when we talk of any price increase, in our case, we say net of discount. So that's why when we have said that, yes, in some place it has gone up by 10 rupees or 20 rupees, it is a net of discount.
All right. Sir, I was just trying to understand how should one look at the discount structure. Like, I think it's an industry-wide phenomena where the companies are actually going in the right direction. So the idea was to understand why is it happening now, and how should one look at it. So we do appreciate one should look at it on net basis. I was trying to understand the rationale and the thought process, sir.
I have not been able to appreciate that what sort of a discount tweak you are talking, but at the same time, what I'm saying is that when a dealer also talks about his net landed cost, then it is a price declared by the company net of discount. And the same also comes to our books. There may be different strategies of different cement companies to further lure the dealer. So that's the marketing strategies of various companies in different ways.
Sure, sir. Thanks for the answer. I'll join back. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Jashan Deep Chadda from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, please.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. My question is related to the ongoing capacity expansion. So if I remember correctly,
Mr. Chadda, can you speak louder, please?
Yeah. Is it better now?
Yes.
So my question is regarding the ongoing capacity expansion. In the last presentation, you have announced around 4 million ton of greenfield expansion in Tamil Nadu. In the latest presentation, although the Sattu 2 million ton is still there, but now it is the remaining 2 million ton of greenfield has been divided in 1 million ton each brownfield in Tamil Nadu and AP. So why? What is the rationale behind that? And also the expected capacity spend, you know, the capex spend remains same despite the greenfield now being converted to brownfield. So if you can shed some light on that, that would be great.
You know, it's a dynamic world. So considering the dynamics of the area, we had reviewed and then we have finalized that it will be better at the moment to go for one brownfield unit and Arialur and one in Kadapa, and there may be a little bit change of capex, 100 crore here and there, not big, because that would also lead to certain extra additional infrastructure, but the point is that we go on reviewing it, and then now it has been finally concluded.
Okay, sir. Just a follow-up on that. Whether the reserves of limestone in Tamil Nadu, you know, the scarcity of reserves in Tamil Nadu, is that also playing a part in your decision to, you know, go to AP for brownfields instead of 2 million ton greenfield in Tamil Nadu?
No, the same limestone would be required whether you put up grinding unit at the same place or outside the integrated unit or outside the clinker system. So limestone deposit has not played any role here.
Okay. And my second question is regarding the slag availability. So, we have been hearing that the availability of slag in East is a little restricted right now.
So if you can shed some light on that, and also you have said that your blending ratio will keep on increasing month on month. So will it, at the current, you know, availability of slag, is it possible to even increase, further increase your blending ratio? So these are my questions.
So as far as we are concerned, we have certain tie-ups for the slag also. Otherwise, also we have arrangement with the steel companies, and that's why we are not facing any problem in regard to availability of slag. And at the same time, since our blending cement percentage is going up in south, where it is mainly PPC, which is mainly using fly ash, so there also we don't find any challenge.
Thank you so much, sir. I will get back into the chat.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Sanjay Nandi from Ratnabali Investment Private Limited. Please go ahead. One moment, please. Mr. Nandi, please go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Sir, can you please clarify on the coal inventory we are holding as on date, or what kind of price thing will be happening in the coming quarter because of that coal thing?
Currently, it's about 70 days of inventory. And prices, as we explained, about $215 was the last quarter average rate. And currently, although it's fluctuating, but it's around $195. So you can expect petcoke prices to move between $195 to $205 trajectory. So marginally lower.
Got it. Thank you, sir. That's from my side, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We have our next question from the line of Aman Agarwal from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, you did mention that we, for Dalmia, we have improved our blending ratio for the south market, which typically used to work on OPC cement. So just want some clarity. Does this change, or does this shift look sustainable for Dalmia or as a market as a whole?
Again, with clarity.
Sir, the change that we have, or the shift we have witnessed in the southern market from regular OPC cement to the Poplanza cement, fly ash based cement, does this shift or increase in blending look sustainable for the southern market, sir?
Yes, for us it's sustainable because our focus on retail sales, our focus on trade sales is yielding these results. So it will go on going up.
And sir, with this change, how does the clinker ratio for the company as a whole stand now? Or for South market, how is the clinker ratio improved with this change, sir?
You are saying clinker ratio?
How is the clinker ratio improved for the South market or for company as a whole with this increase in blending for South market?
I'll be happy to share the overall company, and it is 1.71.
1.71, which used to be around 1.4, 1.5 at least for the southern market.
For YOY basis, it was 1.59 for the company, and now it's 1.71. Thank you.
Sure, sir. And just secondly, if I can add another question, sir. With the upcoming renewable capacity that you have planned, 173 megawatt till FY23, and then a further 155 megawatt that you have planned, what's the amount of saving that you expect from this upcoming renewable capacity?
So this renewable capacity would give us additional saving from FY24. And definitely the delta between the two would be 5 to 6 rupees, but then to some extent its impact on will come on interest part. Interest in the future.
Sure, sir. Understood. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Prateek from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. I have just one pending question. On this renewable power capacity, you mentioned of FY24 renewable power. What is the WHR if we should have additional post 72 megawatt, which we have talked about, to 23.
So this additional RE power which has been approved, that is mainly in the solar, which is around 107 megawatt, and 48 megawatt is wind power.
So now after we commission our WHRS, all our schemes except one will have this WHRS power generation capacity.
So this, we have the 72 megawatt is the peak WHRS largely, which we may have for current operations by 23.
Yes.
And renewable as a percentage of total power mix will be how much by FY23 and 24?
Currently it is 24% consumption.
And this will scale up to what number next 2 years, post this this expansion which we have talked about in 2 years?
So it would be around 36%.
Sure, sir. That was my only question.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Uttam Kumar Shrimal from Axis Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks for the opportunity, sir. Sir, my question is to EBITDA term. This quarter, we have reported EBITDA term of 655. So, considering the demand and softening in prices and increased realization, so what kind of EBITDA term you are expecting in quarter one, quarter three, and quarter four?
We are expecting better EBITDA. This is what I can share with you.
Sir, any number you can quantify, if you can?
No, as a practice, we are not giving guidance for the quarter, but as Singhiji and Hemendra were saying, see, the base thing is very strong demand environment.
Sorry, sir, you're not audible.
So, what you are saying is that as per our practice, we don't give any guidance on EBITDA number, etc., but at the same time, you are aware that now demand is becoming better, price may also go up as well. Power and fuel costs will not go up. So accordingly, we are saying that we are forcing better EBITDA for Q3, Q4.
Okay. And now, sir, one more question with regard to Andhra Cement. We had bid for that. So what is the current position there?
Present it is subjudice matter.
Okay. And sir, if it comes to us, so what kind of capex we will require for that?
Let it get concluded, then we'll share with you.
Okay, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Girish Chaudhary from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thanks. Good morning. Firstly, if you can talk a bit on your...
Mr. Chaudhary, can I request you to speak louder, please?
Yes, Mr. Chaudhary.
Is this better?
Yes.
Yeah. Firstly, if you can talk a bit on your Northeast operations, like how the capacity utilization, demand, and pricing. As a follow-up, you're adding around 1.5 million ton in Northeast, so that's like a 40% increase to your capacity. So how do you see this ramping up?
I would say there's a good growth in Northeast, not only in cement demand, but overall GDP also. As well, the projects which are lined up, the capacities which are lined up, both of central government and state government. And accordingly, the commitments which Northeast, particular Assam government is getting from industry for better industrialization, and also from the government for better housing. We are expecting good growth, maybe on at least for next 3 years, it can be 14-15% growth in Northeast in totality.
But what would be your current utilization, existing capacity?
So current would be around 70%.
Okay. Second question for your greenfield capacities which are coming up in FY24 South and also the Bihar plant. So just wondered some sense on where are we in terms of land acquisition and also ordering of the equipment.
So for Bihar, we are almost close to the completion of the land acquisition, and the work should start, as Singhiji already confirmed, that by March 24, we'll get commissioned completely.
Okay. Okay. And for the south unit, the Tamil Nadu unit?
Yeah, their work is already on. So all would be completed by March 24th. So whatever commitment we are making, we'll be meeting those commitments.
Okay. Got it. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Girija from Systematics. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, thanks for this opportunity. Yeah. So just wanted to check, there is an increase in raw material cost. Is this because of fly ash or other reason?
You are right, fly ash.
What is the price right now for fly ash?
Now, not only because of the price of fly ash, but since I shared with you that our blending percentage has gone up, and that on that account, the overall consumption of fly ash slag that has gone up, and that's why you are seeing there would be little bit increase in fly ash prices also, but then mainly it is because of higher quantity of additive material.
Okay, and now the festive season has already gone. So can we expect a volume of around 6.5 to 7.5 million ton in this quarter, means like Q3? Volume guidance.
Difficult to give the guidance, but then yes, we will be almost 1.5 times of the industry growth.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Sumangal Nivatia from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. Most of the questions are answered, but just a few top-level questions to Mr. Dalmia. First, on our medium-term expansion plan, our long-term vision is to become a pan-India player. So with this FY27 plan, do we start moving towards new regions, or is it largely consolidation in the existing region? This direction, if you could guide us.
I think we will be examining, all possibilities. And, we are developing one of our projects in central India, where we have a limestone mine in Madhya Pradesh. So I think that project we are already started to develop. We are also looking at, it's early stages yet, but I think, we are starting to buy land and develop projects. We are also looking at buying some land in Uttar Pradesh. So I think our long-term vision is pan-India. We are looking at organic and inorganic opportunities all across the country. And it's hard to predict, what will happen when. And But we will give you more details once we firm up our plans.
We've lost the connection of Mr. Sumangal. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Dalmia for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Once again, thank you very much for joining us, and thank you very much for a very engaging session as always. We thank you for your support, thank you for your feedback, and look forward to continuing to get your guidance and feedback as we build the company. As I said, we are very excited about India's future and Dalmia's future, and while the world is quite volatile and unpredictable, I think we have great conviction in India, and we are doubling down on our bets here. And I also want to say that I have a deep conviction that this decade belongs to India, and the best of India and Dalmia is yet to come. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Dalmia Bharat Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.